some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
All Elite Wrestling Dynamite is on the air, live from the sold-out Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. 14,129 fans had jammed this joint months ago, weeks ago, sold out all the tickets in 30 minutes. And man, what a night we've got, folks. I'm so excited to be with these two gentlemen that we'll be broadcasting with here tonight. As usual, my stalwart Excalibur, and it's great to welcome back Tony Schiavone to the broadcast table.
Hi, everybody. This is WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for October 5th. Holidays today, real quick. It's Do Something Nice Day. Remember that. International Frugal Fun Day, World Card Making Day, and World Teacher Day. Happy birthday to former WWE superstar Terry Runnels. She's 53 today. Oh, I gave away her age. You might remember her as Marlena. Who else was she?
Terry Runnels.
She was somebody.
Alexandra York.
Alexandra York in WCW.
If you want to go back 30 years.
Pinklink's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. Join us October 5th. That's tonight for UFC 243 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door. 10 p.m. start time. You want to get there early? Hosted by us. There'll be drink specials and adult beverage specials all night long. That's October 5th tonight at Salvatore Saloon, Salvatore's Garage Door, UFC 243. And it's confusing because it's technically happening on the 6th, which is tomorrow, but that's because it's from Australia, so it's across the international timeline. So they're getting it at 11 o'clock in the morning in Australia, and we're getting it at 10 o'clock at night here in Rochester, New York. So coming out and have a good time with us. We'll probably have a great turnout, and it's going to be fun. We haven't done the UFC in a while. We missed the last one because it was in the afternoon. So come on out. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby as well as the men's team, Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. Look them up online, flowercityfear.com. Always looking for everybody. Volunteers, fun. It's a lot of fun. You have a great time. You don't have to pay to go see games and all that stuff. Let me introduce the cast and crew real quickly. I am the Cash Man, your humble host here with Danger Boy on the Twitter as well as whatever he's doing on the computer over there. Are you tweeting?
I was just about to tweet
the Pain Clinic tweet, which you follow us, please, on Pain Clinic, as well as on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, you'll see Facebook Live. You see Danger Boy decked out head to toe in Sabres gear. Are you going to a game or something today?
No, but it is the home opener tonight.
Oh, okay.
And they played great on Thursday.
Yes, they are undefeated. They are 1-0. It'll be the first time all year they'll be over 500, right?
Well, yeah, it would be the first time since they played one game.
No, I mean the whole year. Let's see what happens after tonight. So we have Danger Boy Double B, Brian Burke there, cleanly shaven, looks like a different man.
Good morning.
I know. So how did the court date go?
We got to keep that on the DL.
And Furby's joining us too with the New Face of Fear t-shirt. You can see us on Facebook Live if you follow us on Facebook. We turn the camera on. I'm the only one not in there on it, and that's a good thing. So let's talk about, we got a lot of things to talk about. Before I get too far, I just got to briefly relate a story to you. I was going to see Phil Collins last night in Buffalo, and I knew I was going to be late because I got tickets very late. And so I left, you know, I left after the show started about 8:45. I left about 8 o'clock to get there, and I hit a traffic jam outside of Buffalo that did not let us get through until about 10 o'clock. Got to the arena, and the last song was playing, and the people wouldn't let us in. And it's like, they go, no, we're not letting any more people in because it's the last song, he's done. So I could hear Phil Collins playing in the hallway when they were escorting me out of the building. But I had a ticket in my hand that said I could go into the show, but they wouldn't let me in.
So. Are you sure you weren't being escorted for other reasons?
No,
I've never been escorted from something.
No, it was the lady kept, you know, hushing us out the door and pushing us out. It's like, wait a second.
Escorted from WrestleMania. You're getting escorted from Phil Collins concerts.
Yeah, so I did. So I had tickets to Phil Collins. Never quite made it last night. I went. Chunk, my buddy Chunk came with me. Remember Chunk?
Yes.
Chunk was with me. He's a former skating ref with Rock City Roller Derby. We went to, and you know, I'm sure it was a great concert. So if you went to Phil Collins, you know, good for you. And terrible for us who thought that I was going to make it, but at least half, you know, at least the second half of the show, I got none of the show. And a friend of mine, actually, Chunk, who was with me, had a friend inside who was like Facebook Living it. So that's the most I saw of the concert was when we were driving there and the Facebook Live songs that were playing. So on that note, let's talk about the World Pro Wrestling because it was quite the big week. I don't know where to start. I know where we'll start because I've got a list here in front of me that tells me where to start. But how about let's talk a little bit about the debut of AEW. Thoughts right off the bat. I'll give you one thought that I thought was you okay, Bri?
Yeah, I don't know.
You gonna be okay?
Yeah, this I'll be
fine. Okay. Well,
he's taking a heart attack because his accuser saw him on Facebook Live.
Turn that thing around.
I was going to say, anybody can go get him a cup of water or something. Anyone know CPR, too? Just wondering. Okay. So
I do, but I don't have to use it.
Yeah. I mean, I can call up my phone, and I probably figure it out by the time you're dead. So.
It's just allergy season. I apologize.
It's okay. I've been sick the last 2 weeks in here. This is the first day I feel good in about 2 weeks. So let's talk. One thing that struck out me in AEW is... I think not a lot of interviews going on during a 2-hour show. Really, no vignettes or anything. It was really pretty much.
There's a few backstage shots. There was a few. There was the one on the ramp with SCU, but no, they stuck to having matches for better or worse at times. The thing that stuck out to me, Tony Schiavone in the non-play-by-play role. Is fantastic.
Yeah, he had to kind of take a step back because you could tell he wanted to jump on a lot of commentary, but the Excalibur was there. And it's like, that's how I felt is Jim would go, hey, Tony, tell us about where our next show is going to be. And then Tony would like spew off all the information about their tour that they're on right now. But I don't think that Tony, I mean, I think after watching their debut that maybe Excalibur was the odd man out in the
oven. I don't think any organization needs a 3-person announce table. I think you can get away with 2.
I actually think differently. I think JR was the odd man out. I think JR was slow on some of his commentary. I think he was taking backhanded compliments at people during the show.
I was going to say, actually.
And shooting down things he doesn't like. I mean, he's an old school wrestling fan. He's sitting there, they're talking about Dungeons and Dragons, and he's just crapping all over it.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually a big fan of Excalibur, actually, from Wednesday. I thought he was pretty... Pretty good.
Well, he was trying to insert. I think he was trying to insert himself into. I think originally it was him and Jim Ross that were going to do the commentary, and that would have been fine. But when you throw Tony Schiavone into the mix, it's a you know,
he's got to talk.
Yeah, and by the way, and I thought Tony was fabulous. By the way,
I thought he was great.
Tony is the one who brought up all the history stuff going on with being on the network. You know, I mean, listen, everyone's fed lines. Everyone knows. I just felt that Excalibur. Stumbled just a couple times during his commentary during when he was talking, but I think it's because he's got a three-man booth now there, and I think he's not sure. You know, I always had that problem doing commentary when I'm doing like roller derby because I don't know because I have a partner out there. When do I get to insert? And sometimes I step on people's feet. Now and then, but believe me, I loved Excalibur. I mean, I think he knows his stuff, and he's got a great voice, and I think he definitely. Throws a lot of meaning into his commentary, but it was just kind of I think it was kind of a feel out process. It'll be much better next week, I'm guessing.
Speaking of stepping over, Pete. Now, some of the matches were really good. Cody versus Sammy Guevara was a good way to start that show.
Oh yeah,
and I liked as much as some people didn't think it was great, and there was a couple stumbles in it. Pac versus Hangman Page was a good match. The women's title match I thought was an atrocity. Not even just for the botches. I think the whole concept behind the thing and the winner was one of the worst things they could have done. I'm sorry, a 98-pound woman should not be beating Nyla Rose.
No, I agree with you there.
And all we've seen Nyla Rose do is lose. Except for the Battle Royal, all we've seen her do is lose. So you're trying to build her up, So what, is Britt Baker, who's on commentary, not saying anything the entire time?
Yeah, I thought Britt Baker was done with the company.
No, she's got concussion.
Yeah, okay.
It's Kylie Rae who's done with the
company. That's right. Kylie Rae is the one who did the big deal signee who just
Britt Baker had a real bad concussion, so she's still recovering from that. But now she's going to go after Riho? Why are you going to have two faces go after each other?
There's a lot of... let's get Mike's opinion on that. 222-1280 Star Toys, if you want to call him. We got Mike from Rochester. What's up, Mike?
How are you guys doing today?
Well, we are evaluating what we did this past week of, you know, being couch potatoes, because pretty much that's how it worked.
I'm doing really well because it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. Whether you think the shows went well or not, there's a lot of content out there right now.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And so far, this call has already been longer than last night's WWE Championship match, so I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Say that last night, a minute and a half?
No, nine seconds.
Oh, really? Okay.
7 seconds.
Okay, so that and to me, we didn't even get to that talk. We're going to hold off on that a little bit because I do have some things to say about that whole Cain Velasquez appearance at the end there. But how AEW, thoughts on that?
I thought that overall AEW's presentation was pretty freaking good considering that this is a company that essentially just started up in January. I thought it was excellent. I thought the production was great. I agree with you guys that there really should be a two-man commentary booth, but I thought overall the commentary was better than most WWE main roster commentators, that's for sure. So the one problem I had with AEW was the six-man tag. Then when Jon Moxley interferes, how is that not a disqualification?
Oh, exactly. That's 100%, and that's been brought up by almost every single person who watched that show that I've seen do commentary on it, is how is that not a disqualification?
Well, the question is where was the referee?
Staring right at it.
I was going to say.
The referee was right there. He was in the ring.
I know. That's what I mean. It's like, I mean, yes, we wanted to get that moment in which Kenny Omega went through the glass table, okay? We had to get to that point.
Who went through the table? I think Moxley took the worst of it.
The bell's already rung.
Yeah, and as Brian just said, I think Moxley took the worst of it. If you look at it, he really lands on the back of his neck through that table. That looked pretty
bad. Which was obviously breakaway glass because no one was bleeding.
No, nobody was bleeding, but it made a mess. But it was well worth the money, I'll say that. But yeah, there were some things. I mean, but you know what? That's my beef with WWE half the time anyways, too. You know, I mean, that I think things will happen right in front of an official.
NXT did the same thing later on.
Yeah.
Roddy grabbed one of the Street Profits right in front of the official, and then it led to the finish of the match with the high-low.
Yes, I agree with you guys. I think if you're going to have pro wrestling presented as more of a sports-oriented product, which is like all the buzzword now, if you watched the Fox show last night, they say Fox Sports before the wrestling comes on, just like they would if a football or baseball game was coming on, that you got to treat the officials with more respect. That's my one beef with New Japan Pro Wrestling, is that they don't treat the officials with respect. So I just think that was my one issue with the show. But overall, I think this whole week was pretty much more positives than negatives.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I will say they did beat NXT in the ratings, and WWE did put out a press release saying, congratulations to AEW, you're making Wednesday night the night of wrestling.
They didn't just beat...
They doubled it.
NXT. They didn't double. Yeah. They 500,000 more people.
Yeah, and here's my thing. What I liked about the AEW show compared to the NXT show, I actually think the NXT had the best match of the whole week. Adam Cole and Matt Riddle was the best match of the whole week. But the one thing NXT, I think, made a mistake was they were trying to counter-program, which is the first 30 minutes, we're not going to have any commercials. We're going to put our best match on first. Then the rest of the show is like people, if you look at the ratings pattern, once that Cole-Riddle match ended, NXT never gained the rest of the show because I think a lot of people were more interested in that match than anything else on the show. And once that match came on, they're like, okay, we'll just watch AEW the rest of the way.
And if you notice, too, with NXT, they kind of stayed on a little bit longer than just the 2 hours.
I don't agree with that.
About 5-6 minutes in that tag match to finish the show, try to grab some extra viewers.
Yeah, I don't agree with that because to me, now what do you do going forward? Because you hot-shotted a takeover-level card and you got killed in the ratings. So what do you do going forward?
Well, you know, they teased an awful lot, Ciampa coming back. They teased
Finn
coming out. We got to see Johnny Wrestling, and then his wife was in the very next match, which I thought was pretty interesting.
And now you're going to get to see Shane McMahon.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
I think so on NXT.
Oh God, no!
I mean, he
is NXT,
that.
Isn't he? No.
Don't say it. He needs to go away.
I agree, but I got a feeling he's showing up on NXT.
Oh, that would be not a good move.
You can say AEW killed NXT in ratings, but if you really look at it, it's AEW making a big debut. Of course, they're going to catch some extra viewers. In the long run, NXT, I think, will probably outdraw them, possibly.
We'll see. I'm not so sure, because if you look at the teenage demographic, AEW is a hit with those teenagers because they know Kenny Omega from the video games. And he's a big deal to those people, and that being the elite show, a lot of kids watch that stuff. So I think the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny Omega are bigger stars that WWE gives them credit for.
And maybe I'm just the opposite opinion on a lot of this, but I only thought there was like two good things about AEW. I thought the Pac and Hangman Page match was great, and then Sammy Guevara. If Sammy Guevara is not in that match with Cody, that match honestly was a botch. Cody looked bad. He was pretty sloppy.
Cody's not a great wrestler. I agree, John. Yeah. But as far as a superstar presence, he definitely had that in spades, in my opinion.
Yeah, I will say one thing.
Because he's got the name.
I will say one thing. Impact started this past week on Access TV. It's on Tuesday nights.
Well, it was just a highlight.
It was a pay-per-view. They showed a whole pay-per-view.
It wasn't a live one. They're not doing actual weekly shows until the 29th.
I will tell you this. The pay-per-view, that was homecoming pay-per-view they showed, the main event was two of the teams that were on AEW on Wednesday night. So LAX versus they came out, and also what were they called again? The Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
So both those teams who had been they got quite in the homecoming pay per view for and by the way, next week they're showing their next pay per view. So they're gonna debut in the end of October with Live Impact on Tuesday nights on Access TV. Now, Billy DeTore is a very good friend of mine from the Wii Show, but he can't get Access TV. But I think if you have a Spectrum, you should be able to find it out there. It is a $5 bracket, I think. You get like Speed Channel and stuff with it too. But I will say that it was exciting because I was flipping, because that is like every night of the week there was wrestling on.
Oh yeah,
when I was flipping the channel, you know,
unbelievable. And I want your guys' opinion on this. I know you guys were going to say you were going to talk about the next segment, but the fact that they're doing the Brock Lesnar-Cain Velasquez match at Saudi Arabia, they got to be building to a second match. There's no way they could just finish this off on one show, do they?
I don't know, because from what I understand anyway, and you can let me know if I'm wrong, Velasquez is waiting to have surgery on his knee, and it was a pretty bad injury if you watch that UFC fight.
Yeah, but he's been wrestling. He's been training to wrestle, and he's been wrestling in AAA.
And he actually looked really good in AAA.
Yeah, so I think maybe they're selling it with the brace on and everything just to, you know, but
get the big payday, then he's got to go out, have the surgery, and come back at WrestleMania or somewhere down the line and have the
room. I think he wants to be in WWE too, and we'll talk about that on the flip side, because Danger informed me of something I didn't know about Cain Velasquez showing up on SmackDown last night. But we'll talk about SmackDown. If you have any comments, opinions, questions, 222-1280, *1280 is the number. If you're shy and you don't want to call us, you can text us at that same number, 222-1280. We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
Seth, I need your 100% undivided attention, so if you don't mind, could you crawl out of Hogan's ass for a second and lend me your ears?
Did he just say that?
Excuse me, Beck, can I take this for a second? I take this one, thank you so much. Just because you won King of the Ring, it doesn't actually make you a king. And it certainly sure as hell doesn't make you want to walk around here dressing like a 35-year-old virgin hanging out at Comic-Con. No. So you got to get it in your head. See, Becky Lynch is the man. However, you don't see Becky Lynch walking around here holding a pair of testicles, do you? Hey, this is Rick Steiner, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280. WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Rock, man, Rock is PG-13, okay?
Rock was great.
222-1280 starts. We're going to talk about SmackDown here in just a second, but first we're going to go to Buddy Brian's online. Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. You know, I did watch the premiere of AEW on a Wednesday night, and I realized something, that when they were talking, Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross were talking, they were talking about when it was the old WCW days. And when I was also watching it, I remember that when they had a time limit on their matches, and that made me realize that's taking me back to AWA when they have their time limits. So I think AEW, I think that's going to be a much better product than what the WWE is having right now on Monday night.
Brian, you know how many people got excited when they said TV time remaining and when they announced one of the matches in the ring? I mean, I saw online, Twitter exploded because WWE doesn't care about time limits. They don't care about anything when it involves their matches. You know, unless it's specific in the name of the match, they don't care. So that becomes a factor in matches. And it was more wrestling on AEW than any other show, I think, this whole week. You know, I mean, there was.
And Richie, sorry to cut you off, but I hope now that in weeks to come, I think AEW is going to really teach NXT a lot viewership wise. So expect that. But. Thank you, and have a good day, Richie. Guys, in the studio.
Okay, thank you for calling, Brian. Yeah, I will say that this is just the beginning. So it's going to get better and better as we go. So it's like picking out some faults, and we judging shows against each other. But
you're judging a brand new product versus a company that's established for. How long now? So
yeah, but
we'll have to see which way it goes.
This is one thing I'll say is, if you think about it, in the way baseball's done, you have major leagues, you have AAA, you have AA, you have single A. I see, of course, all the WWE main shows are major leagues, but I always saw NXT as developmental, so it never was as high. Now it's being forced into the upper position, but they're going against a company that is all they are, is the major league. So I almost think it's an unfair fight because you have all the major league talent, writers, money all going behind AEW, and then NXT is kind of like, still development. I mean, we see developmental matches on the show on USA.
Writers?
Yeah, there's writers on every show.
About the best writers there.
I don't know either, but I will say that I think that NXT still has that developmental feel to it, and I don't have a problem with that. I enjoy more wrestling, less talking, and I like people. A lot of times they'll throw matches out there just to see if there's an interest in the crowd of two guys wrestling. And every once in a while, you get that like at the King of the Ring tournaments in WWE. But on NXT, there's so many new people out there to throw in that it's like you got to find a way to get them and then have the crowd react to them. So it's, I don't know if rating numbers are really going to be something NXT looks at. I know USA will look at it, but I don't think,
Well, the rumor was Vince wouldn't get involved until AEW was beating NXT.
Okay.
So we'll see how long it takes.
Oh, see, that's a bad thing. Man. I know. Yeah, I don't know. Because Vince, I don't want Vince, he likes poopy jokes.
You do have to follow up. You can't go, like WWE said in their release.
Yeah.
It's not a sprint. It's not a one-show sprint. Yeah. It's a marathon.
And I still don't agree with AEW. I know numbers are numbers, and we see the numbers that AEW had 1.4 million versus the 891,000 for NXT. But NXT... It ran a similar style schedule with match, not a lot of interviews. They had better quality matches, I believe. And in the long run, AEW was a debut. Of course, you're going to grab extra viewers because it's a debut. We'll see how it holds up.
That's true. The second week and we mentioned that before this has even started.
I also think even for a developmental brand, NXT had better polished wrestlers than you were seeing on AEW for the most part.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't say yet, Finn Balor. That's all.
Yeah. And we played his music, though. 222-1280 Star Toys number. We have Troy from Rochester. What's up, Troy?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. How you doing, sir?
Good. Let me tell you, just adding Jim Ross. and Tony Schiavone alone beat NXT. I mean, you got two veteran announcers that they just connected so perfect. And, you know, I've been told you guys, Tony Schiavone was one of my favorite announcers, and I'm glad that somebody picked him up. I couldn't wait for somebody to pick him back up.
You know what's funny is he was available for many, many years.
Yeah.
WWE would use him on occasion. They'd have him come in and do some, like, WCW, you know, flashbacks.
Oh, he was doing Major League Wrestling, too. Yeah,
and he was doing Major League Wrestling. But, he was available. He was working. I mean, still, as far as I know, he's still going to work for the Gwinnett Braves, I think.
Yeah, he's going to work for them. He's still doing Major League Wrestling stuff, I believe, too.
Yeah, so I think the schedule for AEW is more apt for his baseball schedule, you know, being that they're not touring a lot. They're just doing, like, live Wednesday night shows now, and which is great because DC is going to be going to one of these shows soon in North Carolina. I think it's in
Charlotte,
North Carolina. Is that this week?
No,
it's in a couple weeks. I know that. But, you know, so, I mean, you know, that's great. And Tony Schiavone, pro, I mean, he's known for saying, you know, he's one of the guys that you'll give a lot of credit to in the WWE for swinging people back to WWE when he made that statement on WCW Nitro about putting butts in seats with Mick Foley winning the title. And I think, you know, he's part of history. It may not be a good side for him, you know, because, you know, but he, you know, some of the things, because he was like the main guy. He was like the main announcer of WCW. Yeah. He hired all the other announcers, so he was in charge of all of them. So when things came through him and he said them, that, you know, most of the stuff was either him or Eric Bischoff, you know, feeding into it, you know, feeding it out. So, and unfortunately, but, you know, he's, like I said, so he's known for that fumble by saying, you know, and then what was it, 500,000 people changed from WCW to WWE to watch Mick Foley win that title because it was a taped show. So, I mean, but he's good at what he does. I mean, I'm not a big guy on the shill announcers. He was a big time shill when he was, you know, doing Nitro. I mean, but Jim Ross is a big time shill when he was doing WWE. So, you know, but they are probably the best announcers that are available. And I think, you know, and hearing Jim Ross lead you into that, the beginning of the show, you heard it when we started. Jim Ross led you into that crowd shot going into the ring. And, you know, it just takes everyone back to Jim Ross. Jim Ross is a very important part of WWE's build-up to where they are.
It did make it feel like it was kind of big time. I'll admit to that.
And when that show opened, I'm watching on the TV, and I felt like I was in the arena. It was so, it had to be amazingly
and they
loud
got the and, crowd there. Yeah. I thought they lost the crowd at AEW, but they regained it at the end.
Yeah, they did lose it at one point.
Yeah, because it got quiet. You know, I think it was a women's match because it went too long. And
it was very sloppy.
Yeah.
I love AEW already. They put on that. To me, for a first-time show, they put on the show. I like it. And it's only a matter of time before they get their next Goldberg, their next Dark Side Sting, or whoever. So we ain't seen nothing yet from AEW.
We probably haven't even seen AEW's best wrestler anyway, so.
And it's going to be a matter of time before they get another NWO, although they probably don't have the rights to the name no more. But
well, listen, I'll tell you one thing. You've heard of the club, and the club, half the club is in AEW right now. So, you know, or at least important parts of the club are there, we'll say.
Just watch out for Pentagon. He's going to end up stealing AEW.
Oh, you think so? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pentagon's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got some comp now. This ain't Ted Turner that's going to run. He's a billionaire, the owner, right? Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, he Tony Khan's the son of the owner.
Oh, Shad Khan.
Shad Khan, and Shad Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. He owns a soccer team over in the Premier League. He tried to buy Wembley Stadium. They wouldn't sell it to him, though he wanted to buy it. I mean, he's a wealthy man, so there's money behind it. That, and even if it doesn't make money for a long time, they're willing to sacrifice that.
Right.
We have a friend who is the business director, so it's like I gotta find a way to get him on the show because he's from Rochester. He's a guy who used to do the, what do you call it, WrestleNomics?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a column called WrestleNomics, and that was enough to get hired to be the business manager of AEW. And he's, you know, and I'm our friend Mookie there So Chris Harrington out there, he's a Rochesterian, and he's running that show. He's helping run that show. So there's they've got a lot of good things going for them. It's just, you know, let's give them a couple weeks. And I mean, yes, like I said, WWE did send out a press release saying, hey, congrats, you know, for your numbers and what you're doing on Wednesday nights. But but it's got to be consistent. So, I mean, and you know, it's funny is Furby said that, you know, he said we haven't seen the best wrestler yet. Heck, there's a couple wrestlers who haven't wrestled on TV yet that are their biggest names in that company. Like Kenny Omega got, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't count that as wrestling. And I don't count what, you know, John Moxley as wrestling did to him either. You know, they just kind of brawled. Mm-hmm. But then you got the Young Bucks. We haven't seen any of the tag teams that are available there.
Right.
And I think, too, with that, like, we know Kenny Omega. We know Kenny Omega is the name. I think that's, you know, a guy that's out there that at least with, you know, our generation, we've seen more, you know, you hear more about Omega. Not a lot of people probably have heard of Pentagon unless you're really big into wrestling, like a lot of us here. Seeing him first time in the ring is going to wow a lot of people for the newer viewers.
And you know, another thing about NXT, their venue is too small to compete with AEW. When you look at the crowd and AEW, what they have, 40,000 or so?
It's 14,000 something or another.
Yeah, and then you look at the crowd where you know, the channel hop, and you look at the crowd at NXT, it's no comparison.
Well, that's because that place only holds about, what, 300 people, 400 people?
They made it look bigger.
But I will say, they're going to go on the road with it. Don't be surprised if suddenly NXT is traveling.
Not until after the year, end of the year, though.
Yeah, but they're definitely, mm-hmm. I mean, they do travel, so it would take just a little bit more to put a TV show on the road. I'd love to see Riverworks on in Buffalo on NXT Live. You know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure NXT's in the works to start traveling. It's not going to stick at Full Sail. Obviously, that's probably where they want to stick because that's the home. But, you know, it'll make its way around.
Yeah, because they need a bit. They can't compete unless they compete in a bigger venue. I mean, it's apples and oranges. I mean, you see the crowd in AEW, and you see the crowd in NXT. I mean, it's no comparison.
Well, you also got to keep AEW's also got to keep that crowd. They're later as the shows are going on in the weeks, they're not selling out instantly anymore. They're not having problems selling tickets, but they're smaller venues than this one, and they're not selling out instantly. So they got to keep that crowd as well.
Well, that's because the scalpers just aren't scooping them up because they lost their shirts in D.C. But yeah, I don't think they'll, if they keep doing what they're doing, I don't think they'll have an issue. My concern from the NXT standpoint is what I really like about what I've seen from AEW and what I've always seen in NXT is the focus has always been on the athleticism. You may get your Killian Danes and stuff like that occasionally, the big guys that Vince has always liked.
Yeah, but Killian Danes, an incredible athlete.
The big guys dominate in the two main shows on WWE.
That's true.
The athleticism dominates on NXT.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to compete with AEW, they've got to keep the focus there. So when they're bringing in, they can bring in a Finn Balor, but they can't let Vince take over and bring in some unstoppable beast who can't be beaten unless your name is Seth Rollins, and it would change the whole feel of NXT. So I'm hoping that he stays out and just lets it go the way that it's going. Because it's great for fans, no matter which show you prefer to watch, that both shows are there on Wednesday night.
So I'm going to read a couple tweets before we go back to break. And we really need to discuss SmackDown because Tyson Fury showing up during, I don't know if you guys know who Tyson Fury is, but boxing is dead. I hate to tell you, the WWE, but nobody watches boxing, okay? Mm. Boxing, but UFC and MMA is shoulders.
You have that talking about that here in the States, it is, yes, because there's no good U.S. boxers in the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Anything overseas, I was watching some British, people from England doing recaps of the show and everything. They are going absolutely nuts because the good fighters are overseas. Now, Tyson Fury is also 6'9", and he's just a freak.
Yes.
So he's going to be a big deal.
222-1280, *1280. Thanks for calling Troy, man. I appreciate it. We got to go to break. Hold on. Quick message. I got a couple messages on texting. Sammy Guevara is a great wrestler, but him coming out with his panda bear look is the dumbest thing I've seen in a long time.
Looks like Ben Stiller from Tropic Thunder.
True. And then he also wrote, Jack Hager as a big, tough guy is a good thing. Just don't put a mic in front of him ever.
Very true.
But did you also heard, what were the chants going as the show
we
was coming?
We the people.
We the people, over and over and over. One last one. someone, oh, this is from Champ. It says, uh-oh, slide, Josh, slide. 222-1280, Star Toys is the number. We're going to go to break on that. Come back.
Talking about Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It must be. It's, I don't know how, you know, what that means, but...
Because Josh Allen's been cleared to play this weekend.
I heard. I heard Josh Allen would play.
So instead of getting hit, slide.
No, I'm going to just heave the ball and throw a touchdown. You know, 222-1280, Star Toys number. Give us a call. We'll talk to you. You can text us that number. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Hey, Shane, you're fired!
This is Shane McMahon, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Keep get to use that before Shane disappears forever. 222-1280, Star 1280. I will say that text that we read from Champ, a little bit more to before that is, says, Wednesday nights have become a great beer drinking and yelling at the TV kind of night. What a great time to be a fan. He's interested to see how AEW's tour logistics work out and getting that set around and working weekly shows instead of one-shot shows. And we might be too burned out for this pay-per-view this Sunday. That's right, we got Hell in the Cell Sunday, don't we?
Only four matches, going to be a short pay-per-view.
Yeah, very interesting. So let's go back to SmackDown last night, for those of you who watched it. We've got things that come out of it. One, yes, The Rock was good. We had Vince and Stephanie start the show. The Rock was good. Fox is all in, okay, when it comes to WWE SmackDown. Fox, I mean, you watch Thursday night. I was watching the Thursday night football game, and I found out that, one, Troy Aikman is a Hulkamaniac, and two, that they mentioned they have a lot of love, even during football games, which, you know, some people in the sports world don't really take well to the wrestling world, you know. Some people think, you know, it's a waste of time and stuff, but you could detect none of that in any of the promos, any of the people doing the live reads, any of that stuff going on Fox.
Well, then they had Aaron Andrews doing backstage interviewing. Their number one sideline reporter is doing backstage interviewing at SmackDown.
Yeah, and of course, it starts in Los Angeles, so all the stars were out.
Yes.
I guess maybe Trish flew in with Lita.
Trish was doing they had a blue carpet event beforehand.
Yeah, that was, I know. I had DVR'd it. I did not watch that. You know, remember I told the story about how I went to Phil Collins and I didn't get to go earlier. If you listen to the show, go back to the beginning and listen to it. You'll hear the whole story. But
it's because he watched you watch a man drown and he didn't want you at the show.
I can feel... Okay, never mind. I didn't even miss that one, too. So we're talking about SmackDown. So we got to, you know, we mentioned Tyson Fury, boxer, who was in the front row, kind of mixed it up a little bit with Braun Strowman there during that six-man tag match.
And now he's going to be on Monday.
He's going to be on Monday with a microphone.
That's not really a good idea.
Why is he?
He's a little loose cannon with his vulgarity at times.
Now listen, he's a guy who kind of won a fight, and then everyone was like, super.
He beat Klitschko.
Yeah, yeah. He was like,
he ended Klitschko's streak.
He was probably 6'9". He's gigantic.
Yeah, he's huge.
So, but not only do we get him, we also got Cain Velasquez at the end of the show. Cain Velasquez came out with Rey Mysterio. Cain Velasquez is a former MMA fighter. I'm guessing former.
Yeah, they said. I read this morning that he is official. That he, I don't know if it's official, but he's retiring from MMA.
Well, his last fight, which we went and watched, and it lasted about 35 seconds. Mm-hmm. He got kicked in the knee, and he had like serious reconstructive surgery on both of his knees. But
he slipped hard after that kick, and
that's right.
Just didn't last too much longer.
It did not look like there was much connecting his thigh to his. Through the rest of his leg, so it was pretty nasty. But he was out there, and you know, Brock Lesnar sold it like a champion. I give Brock Lesnar all the credit in the world to be scared of a guy who's, you know, not nearly as chiseled as he is, or you know,
but is a guy who legitimately beat him in a real fight.
He knocked him out. He punched him. You know, he didn't even. It was a TKO. He knocked out Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar, you know, has a loss to this guy in the UFC. Octagon.
And Kane's an All-American wrestler, too. So he can actually wrestle.
Yes.
Yeah, he was Arizona, was it?
Arizona State?
Arizona State. Yeah, I remember because
it was making up for the greatest thing I saw all week, which is Dominik getting the crap kicked out of him.
Oh, yeah, Dominik and Rey Mysterio.
That was fantastic. I love that whole thing.
Yeah, that's why I thought, you know, well, who's going to take on the champ now that Rey and Dominik are... Rey was taken out in the beginning of the show. You know, but Ray came out with he came out with Cain Velasquez, and they're setting up the whole visit to Saudi Arabia again, which is coming up at the end of the month, I believe. Also,
it's actually on Halloween.
It's on Halloween.
Yes,
it's in the middle of the day too,
on a Thursday.
Yeah. Hey. All right. I was gonna say, but we got also on Monday, since Monday was the, you know, I mentioned this, we had the Team Hulk versus Team Ric Flair. That's going to be at the Saudi Arabia show as well.
You know, as much as we're going to rip on this because it's terrible what they were doing, it was the highest rated segment by far in a long time.
Well, that's Ric Flair was kind of the loose cannon out there during it. I don't know what
they were having him play the heel, and they were teasing the fight. And Hogan's already threatened to get physical with him in Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's why everyone's saying that they're going to be the mystery fifth guys on each of their team.
Oh, God.
I don't know what you guys think.
I love Hogan popping out and going, "Hey, Rick, you know, we are no spring chickens anymore," and just acknowledge that got a good pop from the crowd when he acknowledged that they're old.
Yeah, and well, then Hogan said, "But I got one more leg drop left in
for me." I don't think he does. I heard him talk about how bad his back surgery was with Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He almost couldn't walk again.
Hogan might not get back up.
Yeah, so, well, you know, I mean, Hogan could stand and throw those work punches he does all day, you know, and that's about as bad as it would
get. Or point his finger at him and yell, "You."
"You," and then, yeah, and then use those work punches again at him. But I will say that that's interesting. I mean, you know, now we're going to get a little bit of a build up. But the thing is, they're building up something that's not the pay-per-view, that's this weekend on Monday night during their debut. It's like, this is something that's going to happen 4 weeks from now.
Hell in a Cell got lost in the shuffle big with time. All this yeah. random stuff and new stuff coming in, all the premieres and debut of SmackDown and everything. It just kind of... It's going to be no fun.
No, did you like how they went and they did the Funhouse on SmackDown and had to reintroduce all the characters before they did any of their
not
stuff?
Not only that, we got a free Hell in the Cell match that we weren't expecting.
Yeah, it was in a rat cage, it looked like.
Awesome. Ramblin' Rabbit has a lot more stuffing in him than I would have imagined.
Man, I didn't know rabbits had so many lives.
I didn't know the rabbit that he's a big Seth Rollins fan, that he had to have the beard and the hair.
He grew
and
that beard pretty quick from when he died on Monday too.
I know. Well, I was just gonna say, it's funny how they went through and did, like, it was almost reminded me of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, where they do robot roll call and everyone had to explain who they were. You know, it's like,
well, if you look, you can find a there's tweets out there of pictures of the Fox execs were sitting front row.
Oh no,
watching that and just confused as hell. But then again, they got a lot of complaints about when they were showing the 3 seconds of the Fiend last week during football games because people were scared to their death. They're true. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's the buzz. That's the buzz, you know, and then tune in Friday night at 8 o'clock and you'll know, you know, or you'll find out. The question is this next week coming up is we get the draft. And when after the draft's done, there'll be no more shifting between brands. And that's going to be a huge deal. And we were talking about a little bit last week how we think Seth Rollins is going to be left out in the cold on Raw.
I think he's still going to have the Fiend over there, but...
Yeah, oh, you think the Fiend's going to stay? Well, I guess we'll find out this weekend. When we go to break, come back and talk a little bit about the pay-per-view that's going to be this weekend. Because there is a pay-per-view this weekend. WWE may not have acknowledged it too much. We will talk about it. And there's only 4 matches, so it's pretty quick. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. A little Pete Dunne music to come back to.
He's finally got a program to work.
Yeah.
With Damian Priest.
That's right. Damian Priest came out and just, you know, destroyed him. And Damian Priest...
does the Josh Norman arrow slinging to...
I thought that was pretty cool when he did it.
Oh, yeah,
it.
And his name comes up on?
And it's all flaming and everything. I thought that was
real quick, we talked about Flair, and before we get to the pay-per-view, did you notice on Monday when he came out, his video... said 17-time world champion.
Yeah, they messed up. Well, I mean, truly, he's like a 22 or 23. So, but the 16 is usually the tag they give him. And in fact, that's how they introduced him in the ring. They said 16-time champ.
With 17-time on the back.
17-time as he's walking by it. So a couple of things in news before we talk a little bit. This week's another big week in wrestling because of the draft going on. Second week of AEW coming up. But some news that came out from this past week. It looks like Edge might be making a return.
He straight up said no, but he also plays the gimmick. So.
Yeah, and he also is no longer doing the Edge and Christian podcast anymore. No, so.
But he said he I can see it happening, but at the same time, he also said WWE doctors wouldn't clear him to wrestle, because they are worried about what could happen.
Yeah, stenosis. You could, you know, have.
And he also said that he came out straight up, said last night he's not training for a return and he's not going to be returning shortly.
But they did say there was rumors going around that he was negotiating with AEW about a position with them.
Yes.
So WWE re-signed him, and we don't, maybe he'll manage, who knows, maybe he'll come out, do another one of these talk shows. But some other news, CM Punk and Colt Cabana settled their lawsuit that was going on. Cabana was suing Punk because of the lawyer fees that Cabana accrued when Punk and Cabana were being sued by the WWE, and they've settled their lawsuit and they're no longer friends. And CM Punk's been all over the place. I'm surprised he didn't show up anywhere in wrestling.
CM Punk is going to be on the studio show.
Do you think so?
The FS1? Rumor is Fox has already offered him the money and he's accepted.
Oh, an FS1, right?
Yes.
The one with Renee Young and Booker T, yes. Right?
So he came out and acknowledged that was happening. Triple H came out and acknowledged that. He said never say never working with him. He's being employed by Fox, not by WWE, but he is going to be working WWE, and he's not going to pull. Supposedly, he said he's not going to pull any punches. He's going to, if he likes something, he's going to like it. If he doesn't like something, he's going to tell you how he feels.
Okay, well, good, because I mean that's him. That's, he's the pipe bomb.
Yes,
and it'll give that real feel.
And I think also it will also be something to turn into, because they know, everyone knows the history they have with the company. He has.
Oh yeah, it's only a step away from him returning to fight.
Yeah, and he says he doesn't want to wrestle. That's what I've heard him say multiple times, that he doesn't want to come back and wrestle. So who knows? Maybe the money.
I don't know, someone throw Saudi money at me.
Yeah, I know. The money's right. You will see CM Punk. So unfortunately, we had a passing this past week. A guy named Rick Bogner, who was the fake Razor Ramon when a long time ago, when Jim Ross debuted the fake Diesel and fake Razor Ramon, when they both left to go to WCW. The guy who was playing Razor Ramon unfortunately passed away suddenly this past week, or actually September 20th. So it was a couple weeks ago. He's 49 years old. So it's a shame that happened. But so this week, we've got, also the news, too. 205 Live is moving to Friday nights now, which makes perfect sense. It'll be right after SmackDown, which I think it had always had ties to. Anyways, you know, at least for the production schedule-wise and when they were doing the shows. So that's about the biggest news I have on my pages here in front of us.
And Jeff Hardy got another DWI.
And Jeff, yeah, I didn't want to mention that, but he's got two this year and a arrested for being intoxicated in public in Myrtle Beach. So, you know, hopefully we hope to wish the best for him. Hopefully everything turns out okay. Hopefully he gets the help he needs. But I want to remind people, we're going to be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door tonight and Salvatore Saloon for UFC. You want to come out and hang out with us and watch the fights tonight from Australia. It'll be the middle of the day there. It'll be the middle of the night here. But that's going on tonight. I want to thank you guys for coming down once again, as always. And what do you got? What are our hopes for AEW this week? Do we hope that maybe we're going to see an Omega get out there and wrestle, or one of the guys we haven't seen yet?
I want to see him clean up some of the aspects that were a little sloppy this week.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit cleaner wrestling. Obviously, things are going to happen. I think we're going to get the start of the tag team tournament, which will be great. I believe it's Young Bucks versus Private Party this week.
Yeah.
Which should be a pretty good match. I'm pretty high on the Private Party. It'll be a spot fest match. Pretty sure of that. But, you know, otherwise, they're pretty good in ring. It'll be really exciting to see what kind of feel we get in week two.
Yeah, and we'll have a true tag team match by the Bucks, not a three-way or whatever it was. So that, and then let's see what NXT does. NXT will be throwing heavy matches as well again, and we got, of course, Raw. The big draft on Raw starting, and it'll,
and you'll have the cruiserweight title match, Lio Rush and Drew Gulak on NXT this week.
Ooh, Drew Gulak, the guy who's trained most of those guys who are in NXT or in the Live 205 there, is, you know. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for texting. Thanks for watching us live on Facebook Live. And don't forget, all our old shows are on thepainclinic.net or iTunes. Every show goes up this week. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Furby. And thank you, Danger. And even Peter. He's in here, too. Helped us to distribute the paperwork earlier on the show. We'll see you next week here on Fox Sports 1280.